back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 254. We're here to recap some news and notes from the day and get you on a little Bloom board action on a Tuesday night. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BTheIntrict, podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/Bubba Bloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan, how we doing, my friend?
We almost picked up 500 extra episodes there with the with the wrong show up on the banner.
That's what happens when I go to Chuck E. Cheese on a Tuesday. Everything's not where it's supposed to be.
Dude, I can't believe who goes to Chuck E. Cheese on a Tuesday? That's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Birthday party.
But who does that?
We do. It was an empty house. It was actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
No one in the way. It's beautiful.
I somewhat speak out.
They serve beer at Chuck E. Cheese. Did you know that?
I actually now speak out of jealousy.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have any, but because I had to go back to work. But I hadn't been to Chuck E. Cheese since I was a kid, so it was all new to me again.
Yeah, I have not been to one in forever. But no, I'm doing pretty good, man. Like, outside of like every baseball player dying since we had our last show this past weekend, and then Monday, Tuesday, hanging in there. But yeah, doing well on a Tuesday night, my friend. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's I'm doing well. Doing well, like I said, I'm recovering, but it's good. It's good. It's a Tuesday, all things considered. Everyone's happy. Everyone's good. So, yeah, not too bad. And I'm just trying to avoid all the major injuries, which I have not been able to do recently, which we'll get to shortly with Mr. Corbin Carroll. But we have some other fun stuff to discuss on this show. And we'll start with the positive, Ryan. We had another debut this season. A lot of prospects getting called up. This one panned out very nicely. Chase Burns of the Cincinnati Reds gets the call up, lit Twitter ablaze, lit Discord ablaze, just every, because he was just lighting up the Yankees first time through the rotation. His welcome to the big league moments started to come a little after that. But still, 5 innings, 3 runs, 8 strikeouts, looked great. Thoughts, my friend?
I'm just thinking of what Fab's going to be like this coming weekend, both in NFBC, but also like in Touton Labor. They have to be like on the active roster before you can Fab them. So in a bunch of leagues, Chase Burns is going to be a hot commodity. Like this is the only look we get at Burns as well. So that's the other thing. It's like, we're not going to get another look at Burns. The minor league numbers, I could rattle off just extremely nutso numbers at every single level for Burns. He gets a two-step next week. Like, it is going to be, and I don't know how this is going to pan out. Like, he did look damn impressive today, though. You did make a good point, Bubba. Like, is the Yankees lineup really that great? But Burns looked awesome today, so it's going to be a decision you have to make looking at your pitching this coming, and we'll probably talk about it more on Thursday and Fab. But are you ready to empty the clip to get him? Because I think with this one start sample size that we have, that's what Fabbers are going to go off of going into a two-step. Like, it's a tough two-step. It's two on the road, I think Boston and Philly, but it doesn't really matter. Chase Burns is going to be expensive as hell on Sunday.
Yeah, because he's going to be one of the last big ones, since we don't know if Bubba Chandler is even alive
to right
this point, short of the Pirates. Yep. So this is like one of the last real big starting pitching prospects to come up. Like, we talk about what your team needs are. We talked about with Ben on Monday, like, we actually have a good feel of, like, we're at the midway point where you kind of know where you can maybe gain ground and everything. You know where your bigger weaknesses are in your team. You can't wait much longer, especially in the world of ratios. A guy that gets you a bunch of strikeouts like Burns, how many more of those guys come along type thing. So there's a reason to utilize some serious Fab on Burns, but I wanted to mention a few things to that Yankees point. Over the last 30 days versus righties, 23% K rate, 247 average, 109 WRC plus. So they're still above league average, but not the juggernauts we once expected the Yankees to be, especially what they were when, you know, Trent Grisham and company were lighting the world on fire. And then you got Burns. Like, my biggest concern with Burns, he started the year at high A, got all the way to triple A, made 13 total starts. It was great along the way, 89 Ks and 68 innings pitched. But what I'm wondering is, he's throwing the 66 innings, throw 5 on the night, 71 innings, right? Coming into this in 2024, he threw 100 at Wake Forest.
Yep.
So this is obviously his first year at the major league level. What is the innings? What are we getting from Chase Burns? That, to me, is the bigger question than can he survive at the big league level?
Yeah, you have to wonder how many innings the Reds are going to push Burns past that 100. I don't know if I'm just swagging it, maybe 120, 130, something like that. So yeah, you just have to look at, and it's going to be, this is one where you do need to look at your categories, look where you're at in pitching. Did you just lose a Chris Sale, or have you, you know, in the previous weeks, Pablo Lopez, whatever, have you been stashing Bubba Chandler, like you said, and you want to cut bait there? Like, there's a number of factors that go into it, but I do think on a per inning basis, Chase Burns is probably going to be really good. Like, every prospect report is fantastic, and obviously look good tonight. So going to be one of those things where you got to look at your standings, look how much money you have left, and what you think about your pitching staff, because this is a chance to potentially hit a pretty good one.
And the last thing I'll say on this, because everyone else can go look at Savant's and all that stuff, but I have Savant's game feed up from Burns. Dude had a 30% CSW on the day. It's pretty good. Pretty good. And if you're looking like just O swing, kind of like a Chase angle here, slider had a 60% O swing, and his changeup had a 50%. Slider was used 30% of the time. So he's got some nastiness, to your point, to what was discussed earlier. And he did it in Great American Small Park, which is great to see, because, you know, next week, one of the matchups in Philadelphia, another good hitting ballpark. Good offense. Ballpark can't be used against him. That's his home park. And so wherever he goes is pretty much the same or easier than where he pitches. So, yeah, very interested to see how Sunday goes. And I know I'll be aggressive in some formats. All right. Fun. Go on. Sad.
Yeah. Let's get depressed, man. Let's do it.
Corbin Carroll, because the D-backs, as Ben Tidd mentioned in the Discord earlier, and it got worse tonight, actually, they're snake bitten. As Ben said, great usage there, my friend. Corbin Carroll, you know, x-rays were negative, Ryan, but how many times have you, me, and others said, you can't take a proper image until the swelling's gone? Ask Eugenio Suarez. We'll get to that in a minute. Corbin Carroll, MRI comes back, CT scan comes back, fractured wrist. I said chip fracture in his wrist. There's no timetable for his return. You're expecting at least a month in this situation. Jake McCarthy gets called up. This is a massive gut blow for a first rounder that was just crushing baseballs.
Yes, it is. And totally fluky. So I know, you know, you and I both have a ton of Carroll. It was looking really good for him. And it is just a gut punch. Not much you can really do about it. Hold Carroll and hope for the best. Let's see when we get a timeline, what the timeline looks like. But doesn't seem like it's going to be something that's like less than a month. And even if it is, do you wonder about the power and everything coming back off of a fractured wrist? So not great. We have seen second half Jake McCarthy do some things multiple times in previous seasons. That was the corresponding, or not the corresponding. Yeah, it was the corresponding, yeah, corresponding move, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was to bring up Jake McCarthy, probably strong side platoon at this point. So you want to play the matchups there, but Jake McCarthy, I'm not saying to go out and go nuts. I mean, Jake McCarthy, we've seen bad Jake McCarthy and good Jake McCarthy, but the skills in AAA, 14% K rate, 10% walk rate, like that's really good. Play skills look really good. No power in AAA, but stole 12 bags. Like, I still think this is someone, if you need steals and the playing time is there, we're going to get, what, 4 or 5 games here before upcoming Fab to have a look. Just saying, Jake McCarthy's done it before where he's been kind of league changing in stolen bases with a pretty good average to boot. I think you were pretty high on McCarthy too entering the season.
Entering the season, I liked him a lot because I like the stolen base upside. I thought the power was better than given credit for, like, not a great power hitter, but could he run into the 10 or 15? Sure. Like, that was in play. It'll be interesting this Fab period because you got Chandler Simpson back, you got McCarthy, and I'm totally blanking on one other player that was discussed on Monday. You have three basically rabbits that'll be available. Back to the point with Burns getting strikeouts for the second half of the season, if your team needs steals and you want to move up, you know, get 3-4 rankings in steals, these guys can do that for you throughout the rest of the season if your team's okay in other aspects of power and whatnot. But another Fab angle we'll talk about on Thursday with Jake McCarthy, because a full month plus run of McCarthy, to your point, could, you know, even if it's a month, he probably gets you 6 steals maybe. I mean,
he's had a run. Yeah. McCarthy's had month-long stretches where he's gone double digits. So not saying that's going to happen, but yeah, if you need bags, take a look. And I guess we should call out Randall Grichuk, though he hasn't. I mean, he's been playing mostly every day anyway, but hitting 243 with 3 home runs, 34 years old. I'm not too high on Randall Grichuk, even with regular playing time.
Nah, don't get, if you're in a league where Randall Grichuk's a must start, then it's time to reevaluate things and go from there.
Leave your league.
Yeah, but just for a pick-me-up, Ryan, as Adam says, at least Mason Wynn is still healthy, Ryan.
Oh,
strong
Jesus.
Showing tonight. Of course, it helps when defense forgets how many outs are. That defense would be Pico Armstrong, by the way.
Yeah, saw that. Forgot how many outs. That wasn't great. Also helps when it's 110 degrees in St. Louis. That's really the only way Mason Wynn can pop home runs nowadays. But it's all right. You guys enjoy your sporadic home runs from him, and we'll go from there.
It all counts in the box score, my friend. Sticking in Arizona, Eugenio Suarez left Monday's game after getting hit by a pitch. X-rays were negative. On Tuesday, swelling was so bad they can't take imaging right now. So they're going to have to wait a few days before they can take imaging. This sounds horrible. Like another big blow coming our direction by the end of the week, Ryan. Nothing we could do right now, but wanted to bring that up.
Nothing we can do right now, but if it is serious, we'll talk about this on the Fab Show as well. Could be Jordan Lawler might be the move to bring up, and you never know with Lawler, who's like a consensus top five, top 10 fantasy prospect, still super young, has had a couple unsuccessful yet didn't really get much runway stints in the majors. This could, if the injury to Suarez is serious, this could be like for once Lawler gets time to kind of settle in and do his thing. So that's who we've got our eye on if the Suarez news is bad. It does look bad, but who are we to know or to tell?
Yeah, because even the good doctor has his Twitter account seemed to be hacked on a Tuesday. So you can't trust anybody these days that claims to be a doctor. Chris Sale, he's on the IL, Ryan, with a rib fracture, which really sounds bad. Ew. Because you can't even throw until it's healed because you could just break it again, essentially. It's like we talk about like oblique injuries and stuff. You have to wait till it's fully healed. Ask Jordan Alvarez for an injury in his hand. Now we're talking about a rib cage. This is a bad deal. Again, at least a month here. They're hoping he pitches by the end of the season is what the latest report was. So if they're hoping he pitches by the end of the season, what's that do for your fantasy team, Ryan?
Doesn't do good things. Like, this is where you might be interested in going aggressive on Chase Burns if you need, like, if you just lost Sale. I don't think I'm cutting Sale until we get a bit more firm of a timeline, but it's brutal. There's got to be a team out there there's got to be some Corbin, Carroll, Chris Sale teams out there that just basically total fluke injuries, right? Like, the Sale thing was just a diving play. God, part of the game, but it's frustrating, especially losing pitching. Like, I don't know. Who would you rather lose, Chris Sale or Corbin Carroll in like a 15 teamer?
15 teamer is different. Weirdly enough, probably still Chris Sale, as bad as that sounds.
It's tough. It's an interesting, I don't know. I think I'd rather have Sale than Corbin in a 15 just because it's so hard to replace pitching.
Stream outfielders, but you're not, okay, to be fair, you're not streaming either one of these guys. Like, you're not getting either one of them, period. Yeah. But, yeah, that's tricky. Like, I guess I'd say Carroll because I could go get a chance for Chase Burns this weekend, see how it works. But maybe Logan Henderson comes back at some time. That'd be great. But, not ideal in any situation. No. Not ideal is Sean Manaea, who is coming back from his oblique injury. Looked to be about one rehab start away from rejoining the Mets. Now shut down for 48 to 72 hours, so we had to get the abacus out to realize that's 2 to 3 days. Thanks, crack staff beat reporters out there. He had a cortisone shot in his elbow for loose bodies they found in his elbow. I've never understood why they call it loose bodies when there's, you know, whatever. But we'll find out later this week. The Manaea interview, the other team interviews, they don't seem concerned about it. I'm very concerned about it.
Yeah, and this is going to be the ultimate test of like sunk cost if it is something, because Sean Manaea, like at least in NFBC main event leagues and 50 teamers, still 100% roster.
He was one of the most picked up players this past weekend.
Okay, so a lot of that is recent pickups and not season long stash. I love the 48. Like, aren't pitchers shut down for 48 hours usually after they throw anyway?
But when you have a cortisone shot, it's usually 2 to 3 days, no matter what. Anywhere in your body, your back, anywhere, it's 2 to 3 days, nothing. So that's why it's funny to me.
It just goes back to like when Sean Manaea, if Sean Manaea, whatever, returns, like the chances of him being the Sean Manaea that we saw in the second half just last year seem to just be dwindling with every update that we get.
And I apologize. He was only picked up in one main event league last week, so
okay.
He was held on. He's been picked up sparingly throughout the end, but has been quietly. Maybe it was OCs.
So he's been pretty much widely stashed for most of the season. Yeah, you are correct.
OCs 25 leagues this past week. So, yeah, Sean Manaea, everybody. This is great, great stuff. Adley Rutschman to the IL with a pretty severe oblique injury. He'll hopefully be back after the All-Star break, Ryan. We've talked about Adley before on these Bloomboard shows that expectations and actual results have not equaled the same thing for Adley this year. He has changed his mechanics, been slightly better of late, but maybe that added to the oblique injury. Who knows? Where do you sit on Adley Rutschman?
I mean, I think he was dropped in some spots last week. I can get that if it's hard to carry three catchers in certain things. And like there are, well, at least last week in Fab and you and Ben covered it. Like there were some catching, there was a very active catcher week in Fab just because so many catchers got hurt. Catching casualties. That's right. Because so many dudes got hurt. So I don't know. Gary Sanchez is mildly interesting to me. I like him more when at least the Orioles get a few lefties because Sanchez can mash against them, but I do think he's the primary guy, but I wouldn't like, he was in my waterfall in Tout Wars where I lost Adley. And I think I got Austin Wins instead. So I don't know. It was just like, give me whoever falls for $2 or whatever in Fab because I don't really want to spend.
Well, you should get ready to spend again because Shea Langeliers is rehabbing starting tomorrow and could be back this weekend. So you'll need a new catcher.
Great. Glad I made that move.
Just throwing that out there to you. But I was going to ask you because you mentioned it was Ivan Herrera, Gabriel Moreno. Now Kyber Ruiz is on the IL. Yeah. There's one other one I'm forgetting as well. So there's like five catchers over the last, you know, quarter zone shot time, 48 to 72 hours, has hit the IL. I told Ben, like, I held Herrera for at least a week or so because all the options was Gary Sanchez, Danny Jansen, John. Like, I'm looking at their what they provide to me statistically, and I'm wondering, is it better just to take zeros? Like, you picked up Austin Wins. That's fine. I'm not critiquing it, but I'm just curious your thought on that kind of situation because a guy hits 200 and you hope for a home run. Does that actually hurt you or help you?
It's funny you bring that up because I just thought about that earlier because so I have, I know no one cares about my team, but I think some listeners might be in a similar situation in labor. I've got Kieber Ruiz. I went big for like Jack Cags, a couple of, I've got $24 left in Fab. So I can only make 24 moves the rest of the season. Do I want to spend, and it says there's no $0, like, do I want to spend a dollar on a shitty catcher? Or just take a zero. Like, I might actually just decide to take a zero and hold the Fab. Granted, in like $1,000 Fab leagues or leagues, like even Tout Wars has $0 minimum, that sure, I'll bid $0 on catcher and see which one falls, or a buck or two in a $1,000 Fab league. That works. But like in leagues where you have just $100 and like in labor where there's a $1 minimum, I'm actually heavily leaning towards taking a zero unless, you know, there's someone catcher I really like that I would go a buck for.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So it's an interesting concept right now at this point of the year, like especially in your situation with only so many moves left right on the table. Like, what do you right do in that regard?
How long is Kieber out for? What's my guy here? Uncle Ted's guy, actually.
10-day IL right now. He got smoked in the dome by a foul ball from his own teammates. Talking about keeping your head on a swivel, buddy. That's good stuff right there from a catcher. So, yeah. Pretty just par for the course. The best contact he's made in a long, long time.
All right. Get your shots in.
Well, he's not even here to take him, which is funny. He's probably weeping somewhere because it's another injury that took place. Last bit of news here, Jake Berger. I want to ask you this one because of a comment you made in the Discord. Jake Berger goes to the IL with another oblique injury. He already had one this season. We had one last season. It's a theme with Jake Berger. We don't have a timetable for his return yet. They haven't released the grade of the strain. You mentioned you would drop him. Is this true?
Yeah. I mean, I did drop him in at 12. Like, I mean, honestly, Jake Berger, he's hitting 220 with 10 home runs. It's not like this is, you know, I hate to besmirch the good name of Jake Berger, but like there's a good chance even if Berger's like out a month, I can get him back, or like even if someone else bids highly on Jake Berger, like there's no guarantee, especially coming off, like you said, a recurring oblique thing that we've seen previous seasons. We've seen Berger come back and struggle for quite a bit off these oblique injuries. So I think if you're crunched for roster room, you don't have IL slots or whatever, you can drop Berger. Like I said, I did in my OC last week.
All right. That'll wrap up our so exciting and, you know, lethargic news and notes from the day. Just remember, Chase Burns led things off, folks. There was a positive in all of this. All right. Yeah, as Andy says here, cleaning out all the expired Bubba's Burgers from the freezer. Yep, let's have a cook-off for the 4th. Have a couple of news.
That's right.
Salute. Yeah. Au revoir, my friend, and go from there. All right, it's Bloom Board season. Let's get after it, my friend. This is another one kind of, to me, feels like a little Gene Segura-esque. We're going to go through some therapy here and see where it goes.
Yeah, for half of these guys. So we did a similar exercise on the pitcher side a couple weeks ago. But since we are pretty much halfway through the season, at this point, I think we'll cross the halfway point officially this weekend. It's a good time to take the compare. What I did here was compare the biggest differences in the rest of season projections. So I took I combined Steamer and the Bat X, which is Statcast based. The biggest differences in hitters between what they've done so far this year and what they're projected to do the rest of the way. I think I compared it by WRC plus, but we're showing on the board here, batting average, homers, and steals. So I've got the top 10 guys that are projected to improve the most rest of season versus what they've done so far this year. That might be the therapy session, Bubba, that you speak of. And then on the right side, the red side, are the projected faders, two obvious names at the top that we probably won't even talk much about, in Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge. But you've got the 10 guys who are projected to fall back the most from what they've done so far this season. Again, at the like true midway point of the season, I think it's a nice time for us to kind of say, do we believe in the year to date, or do we believe in the projection, or somewhere in between? So that's kind of the angle that I think we'll take with some of these guys.
All right, so it's only fitting we kick things off with
this Harris pisses me off, second. Man. I can't right avoid this guy. I go on
the list.
I go on Genstad's RotoWire, but I'm all excited, and then he sends me the rundown, and like the first name is how much Michael Harris has sucked. I'm like, oh man, this is ironic.
I remember listening to that on the Monday morning after, and I texted you immediately. I'm like, wow, this is great. Getting it from every show you go on, but. Let's start with Michael Harris hitting 221 on the year, 6 homers, 11 stolen bases, just crushing things out there. Still, you know, could get you 20-20 if he gets hot. Projected to hit 269, which is obviously an improvement, but not what you wanted. You, for one, and others have always said we like Harris for his batting average upside. So 269 doesn't even give you a batting average upside, technically. But 10 homers, 11 steals, and he left Tuesday night's game after getting hit on the elbow by a pitch. So what's your thoughts
on Michael Harris?
He's getting x-rays today. So what's your thoughts on Michael Harris the second?
Dude, I was already like halfway down to the coffin, and then he just kind of nailed it in there at the end. He got hit in the elbow?
Yeah, the elbow by pitch, left the game. Going to get imaging after the game. I have not seen any reports since then.
Why do I play this game? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have much to say. Freaking Michael Harris. Like I have been high on Michael Harris before. The projections always seem to love Michael Harris. And to your point, Bubba, like he's shown like half season spurts before, but never has really quite lived up to the ADP and then also the projections. So we're kind of living on like 2022, 2023 seasons for Michael Harris. And we have not seen any year over year improvement. It's kind of been the same guy with less power. And then this year, like, especially with the Braves offense being what it is, it's just not great. So it's nice to see Michael Harris still projected to hit 270 with 10 home runs, 11 steals the rest of the way. I would be, as a Harris owner, I would be ecstatic for that at this point. But I think I'm with you, even though you haven't even made your remarks yet about Michael Harris, that I would take the under on that projection. Like, he's not going to hit 220 the whole time. Like, the K rate's still really good, 20% K rate. BABIP's super low, is 257. Like, this is a 330 career BABIP guy, so it's going to get better, but it can get a lot better for Michael Harris, and you're still in the hole where you took him.
That's the thing. It's like the ground ball rate's even creeped up a little bit. The quality of contact's just not great. It keeps going down year after year. I keep telling myself, though, at least in the preseason, when you tell me how much you love Michael Harris, still like, no, he's because he's still only 24. So, like, as a guy myself who always tells you, hey, leave the young guys, like, be optimistic here. Problem is, we've seen a few years of this with Michael Harris, so it's a little different. But, yeah, I could he hit 270? Sure, like, the skills are there. Like you mentioned, the BABIP, things can change. I'm just not believing the power is going to come back much this year. So the speed can be there. The average can come up. The total package.
I think that's fair. The power, yeah, the barrel rate is way low. It's 6% this year. I don't know, man. This is a guy, like you said, 24 years old. He's already, like, his first two seasons in the majors, he's 20 and 21 years old. Back-to-back hit 290 with basically 20-20 seasons in partial seasons as a 20-year-old and a 21-year-old, or 21 and 22, whatever. Like, man. It's frustrating.
It's very frustrating indeed. All right. Anthony Santander, 179, six homers, no steals, projected to hit 235, 12 homers, one steal. Not sure when. Still hasn't swung a bat right now with his shoulder injury. So this one's, I'm just taking the under on everything right now because I don't know when he's playing again.
I think so too. And the rest of the season projections for Santander, like plate appearance wise, like 240 plate appearances, which kind of says like he's going to play a good chunk of the second half, and maybe he will, but like I'm just very concerned about the injury with Santander. Like I don't know if he's right, and this may just be a lost season. Like it sucks if you took Santander, because I don't think anybody saw this coming. Like this is a true, like this is worse than Michael Harris. Santander was cheaper, but like he's done absolutely nothing for you, and you still paid a decent amount. Like to go from 44 home runs last year to six this year is tough. So yeah, not feeling even the 235 projected at batting average, even 12 home runs, like as weird as that is to say, I just think with the injury, like this might just be a lost year, and get right for 2026 if you're Santander.
Yep. Get enjoy the value next season. Like last year's draft price, maybe we'll get that again. Jump back on, see where it goes.
Maybe, yeah.
And go from there. Then again, shoulder injury. Never know.
Hey, the good doctor's pitching against your boys right now.
I was wondering if you pick up on that, because Mr. Henrique, who everyone loved a couple weeks ago, was pitching the eighth. So I knew that there was a shot that he could come into the game here to finish things off for the Giants.
Hold on.
Brenton Doyle, this is a very popular name on many Bloom boards of late, and we're on the same page on this one, but we'll still talk about this. Brenton Doyle's hitting 198, five homers, eight steals on the season, projected to go 251, 11, and 13. I'll let you talk on this first, because I think I talked on it a lot last time, but my thoughts have not changed on Doyle, and I will add to whatever you have to say.
Yeah, ditto. Like, and there was some discussion in the Discord earlier today about Brenton Doyle. Like, the biggest thing that I, and where I chimed in is I kind of took a screenshot of the live Bloom boards. Brenton Doyle has the lowest home run to barrel rate of basically any hitter this season. Five home runs, 23 barrels. Like, the raw power is still there for Brenton Doyle. It's actually career high barrel rate. Same exact strikeout rate that we saw last year from Doyle. Perfect 8-for-8 on the base pass. I've got a speculator column coming out, Baseball HQ, tomorrow with an all second half team, basically of guys that struggled in the first half that I think will turn things around by quite a bit in the second half. And Brenton Doyle made that. I think all the skills aren't that far off from what we saw last year. We talk about Coors as a summer park, monthly park factors, and that's the sort of thing. Once Coors heats up, well, I think it's go time. So Brenton Doyle, rough first half for him, both on the field and off the field, unfortunately. But I think things will turn around for him in the second half on the field.
100% with you. Just like to add on for people that might not have heard us talk about this before, is everyone talks about his strikeout rate 2 years ago. He dropped it to 25.4%. Last year, it's 25.1. His walk rate's the same as last year. But his BABIP's gone from 316 to 249. Like, it's a tremendous drop off to a guy that's still – has a career best barrel rate, career best hard hit rate, as you mentioned, like the success in that are career best max EV, like everything you want to see in the quality of contact. The ground ball rate's like a point and a half higher, nothing crazy there. But the home run to fly ball has gone from 15% to 6.8. Like, there's just so many little things. He's pulling the ball more than last season. It's like none of this makes sense. Like,
it looks like the same exact dude beneath the hood, if not a little better, honestly. So
to my question, He hit 260 last year with 23 and 30. Do we take the over on 251, 11, and 13? I'm taking the over.
I'll take the over on homers and bags.
Yeah,
I'll take the over on 11 homers and 13 bags the rest of the way for Doyle. I don't know if he hits 250. I didn't believe in the 260 batting average that he hit last year, but I could come close to it. So I'll take the over on homers and steals, the under on batting average.
All right. Another positive note for us, Christian Moore walk-off dong. He had a double dong tonight.
Dude, that's your guy, double dong. Jeez.
The boy's legit. Like, just get ready. Get ready, everybody, because OCs, he was not aggressively rostered the last couple of weeks, so that might change.
Buckle up. Is he playing every day for the Angels? Yeah, last well, I mean, he should be now.
Yeah, he should be. It just sucks. I can't even write about him anymore in a PT tomorrow because he's just locked in. Yeah, he's your second baseman playing every single day right now. So.
Hitting ninth, but that'll change, especially if we didn't mention at the top, but Zach Neto, he's on a bunch of my teams, too.
Yeah, he left with a trainer after airmailing first base on a throw. And remember, in the preseason, we had a shoulder/elbow situation with Zach Neto that looked pretty much one of those things, if not both, took place on that throw. It did not look good. Jesus. All right, back to your regularly scheduled program. Lou Bob, Luis Robert, 184, 7 homers, 22 steals. We've talked about him a few times. He hit his 8th home run on Tuesday night. It's really weird because, like, in DFS and points leagues, even though he strikes out, like, he's very good. Because he runs like crazy. He's somehow involved in runs or RBIs throughout a game. Like, he's very good in that world. But for Roto, the average is a killer. You want more power. But and the good doctor got the script. Lou Bob, 238, 13, and 18 for the second half. Like, the power and the speed, sure, the power may be high, but I still believe the power, honestly. It's the average. Does he get up to 238? Because it's been dreadful, Ryan. So what are your thoughts on Luis Robert Jr., who I think he's a lot better than he is. He's probably playing hurt like he always is. And maybe he gets traded as well.
Yeah, that's always the hope. I am bullish on Luis Robert. I think he can hit those projections. Like, to be projected for 18, like, that's a 40 stolen base season for Luis Robert. And if he hits the projection, that's a 20-40 season. I know the batting average will be terrible, but, like, for as much crap as Luis Robert gets, the counting stats aren't great because it is the White Sox, but it's all not all doom and gloom. This is a guy, Babbitt, the last three seasons, 329, 314, 310. This season, it's 250 with basically the same ground ball fly ball. Like, I get if you try and sell out for power, you hit all fly balls. Like, yeah, your Babbitt's going to suffer. Your batting average is going to go down. That is not the case with Luis Robert. Is he going to be a batting average asset? No, I'm not saying that. But I do think I will take the over on all I'll take the over on batting average and I'll push on steals. So I'll take over 240 batting average. I'll say 18 bags the rest of the way, which is a lot. And I'll take the under on 13 home runs. The power is still pretty good. I don't know. I like the projection. That projection is a very good player, I think.
As Adam says, can you filter the Lou Bob projection? My health effort trade happens? Question mark. Yeah, I know. It was a loaded part of the end of my synopsis there, but that's the bubble he lives in. That's the bubble
right, he lives in. And like, honestly, like, I don't know, like, the effort part, like, would you, I mean, I'd be so pissed if I was still on the White Sox, like, everyone else was gone.
Well, look at O'Neill, like, Cruz. He just got bounced again for not hustling. And
I would also be so pissed.
Yeah, like, I'm this talented on a team that doesn't care about winning. This is awesome.
I don't know, man. Trade the guy. I think he's – God, I don't know. Maybe I'll always be wrong on Luis Robert. But yeah, like Kevin says in the chat, 20 homers, 40 steals if these projections happen. And, again, we're already halfway to hitting it. So, I don't know.
I'm going to take the over on all three. I think a big summer is coming Lou Bob's way.
Okay.
Very, very optimistic on that one. Joey Ortiz, 212, 2 homers, 8 steals, actually double donged on Tuesday. There's a theme on this board of guys having success on a Tuesday, at least some of them. He's projected for 243, 6, and 8. This one's trickier for me because it's been streaky, but he has played much better over like the last month compared to the first couple months of the season. Where do you sit on Joey Ortiz, who was an extremely popular draft target this year?
Extremely popular draft target, also pretty cheap, so it's not like this has killed you if you whiff on Joey Ortiz. I do think it's kind of funny that, yeah, Joey Ortiz doubled his home run total since I made this board earlier this afternoon. I'm not too, like, stoked here, honestly. Like, like the batting average will go up from 212. I think he can go over 243, which is the projection, because he doesn't strike out much, he doesn't whiff much, but there's just no mustard on it, man. 2.5% barrel. Like, he's hit 5 barrels all season. Maybe that changes with what he did today. I didn't see the home runs, but there's just not enough oomph. And he runs, which is nice, 8 for 11 on the base pass. So I can get behind 8 stolen bases the rest of the way. But you add that all up, it's like 16 bags, 230, 240 batting average, and like 10 homers. There's not much there for me.
No, it's an extremely deep league play is the best way I'll put it. Because like when we liked Ortiz, it was okay, he's going to hit for like 280 plus and maybe 10 home runs and steal 20 plus bases. And you're like, okay, as a late pick, as you mentioned, definitely holds water. This does not, like he said, if it's still projections 8, 4, 8, and 16, does that really, you know, tickle the fancy? You can stream 243, 6, and 8 the rest of the way. You can stream better than that, potentially, right. And not worry about that. So does it go over or under? I honestly don't know. I'm gonna probably say under, weirdly enough, but
even if he hits the projection, 243, 6 homers, not worth steals,
it.
Like,
it's not worth it at all. Jorge Soler, 207, 8 homers, no steals on the season. He's on the IL with another injury, a back right now. Jorge Soler is projected for 232, 11 and 0. I weirdly want to say under on all of this.
Right. Like, I don't know. Dude's 33. He's hurt. Like, and the under to all of this would be, 232, 11 homers. Jorge Soler is a streamer at best at the moment, which is not saying much. Not even at the moment. He's hurt, like you said. So I don't know. Should have filtered him off this list.
We said drop him last week. So
we did. Before he got hurt. That's true. So we shouldn't, I guess, rehash. But yeah.
All right. Let's get back to a positive here. The mascot, Luis Ringifo, 219, 4 homers, 2 steals, and so far. Horrible. Horrible. Dropped in most formats. But he's projected for 252, 4, and 6. What I'll say, Ryan, is 252, I could see. Like, he's been a batting average guy in the past. Like, I could see 252. I think he goes higher than 4 and 6. I think he goes higher than 4 homers. The steals is the question mark because he wasn't running much to begin with. But those 2 steals have come in, like, the last 2 weeks. So maybe he's getting healthy. I want to say over in all of them, but I'll say over in average and power.
That is interesting with – so I guess hear me out. Yeah, with the new manager – or interim manager, I guess. I'm not sure what the latest is with Ron Washington. But,
well, the 2 steals came with Ron still.
They did? There. Okay, never mind. So there goes that speculation. But, hey, maybe with Zach Neto hurt, they need someone to run. I'm just looking for ways to get the mascot back up here. But if the mascot is not running, if Luis Ringifo is not running, I don't care, honestly, what batting average he hits, because I don't know if the power's there. The power hasn't been there for a couple years for Ringifo. The draw was the stolen bases with a good batting average at many positions, which is why he was the mascot. So until we see a regular green light for Ringifo, I'm pretty bearish here.
That's fair. It's not the best profile. There's a trend on this side of the board. Not the best profiles to get excited about. This is a popular one in the Discord. Andrés Giménez hitting 192, 4 homers, 9 steals. Remember way back at the beginning of the season when he was like the greatest thing since sliced bread? And then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then he's come back and done nothing. He's projected for 259, 6, and 15. How are we feeling on that one?
I'm still feeling pretty good. I know Andrés Giménez, he's been called Andrés Segura in the Discord a little bit just because he is doing nothing for you yet playing every day. I don't know, man. Like, the K rate's still really good. He does, like, the plate skills are awesome. It's a 16% K. Like, that's a lot of bat on ball. I mean, one of the lowest BABIPs in all of baseball. 211 for a guy who's fast and has, you know, a 45% ground ball rate, like hits the ball on the ground. I think this turns around. I don't know about the power. I wasn't drafting Andrés Giménez for the power anyway, only hit 9 home runs and 633 plate appearances last season. But I think the batting average turns around a little bit, and Giménez, unlike Ringifo, Giménez at least ran before he was hurt. 10 stolen base attempts this season, 9 for 10. So, like, he's been successful on the base pass. I would buy the 15 stolen base rest of season projection. I would also buy the 259 rest of season batting average and probably the six homers. So yeah, I like that projection for Andrés Giménez, and I think that's a decent middle infielder for you the rest of the way.
Do you think he gets playing time over Ernie Clement? Just kidding. Just kidding.
Honestly, against lefties, maybe.
But yeah, the projection seems fair. Like, it seems like a health thing for the most part with Giménez, to your point. Like, get healthy, get back at it. He's been a batting average guy even when he struggles with his power, and the speed's always been there. So, like, honestly, the six home runs is probably the one I have the hardest part with. The speed and the average I'm pretty good on with Andrés Giménez as well.
So you're pretty high on, like, would you, so, like, I mean, I think he's a hold in 15.
Oh, 100% a hold in 15. We've talked about, like, replacement value in 15s. It's tough. It's real tough out there. So unless something pops up in your league that's is very glaring and is definitely an upgrade. Like, you're not going to get Joey Ortiz. You're not going to get Luis Rengifo. Like, you're not making those moves for him. So that's where it gets tough. All right. Mookie Betts, 254, 9-6, projected for 281, 13-6. Now, one thing I will say, even 13-6 in the second half gives you 22-12. That is not what you wanted from Mookie Betts.
No. And really, I mean, really, the 250, whatever. I didn't know he was hitting 254. That is.
Notch this one up to the fade crew over here.
Get out of here. Fade crew over here. Career best K rate, elite K rate. Single-digit strikeout rate for Mookie Betts. How could you predict, Bubba, that Mookie would have a 250 BABIP? That's crazy. What's the rest of the season projection? 280?
281.
I think he hit 280.
Still below the Betts standards.
But yes, no, to this, to your exact point, even if Mookie Betts hits the rest of the season projection of 281, 13-6, which I think he could do, honestly, but I wouldn't be confident in anything much higher than that. And like, yeah, you're going to get a ton of runs scored. It's 50 runs and 38 RBI. Like, that does help. But this is, yeah, certainly not what you paid for with Mookie. I did not know the batting average was that bad. That's interesting.
Well, like, another thing with Mookie, like, last year, 6% barrel. Now it's 5.6, both like the lowest of his careers.
Yep.
Down to 34% hard hit. Like, there's some concerns. And it's not like he's hitting the ball on the ground a ton. It's 32%, still a 47% fly ball guy.
He needs to chill out on the fly balls. Like, if you got a fly ball, and that's a really good point. That's probably part of the BABIP problem, is if you hit a ton of fly balls, like, you better make it count. And Mookie Betts, with his lack of power, is not making it count.
Yeah, because if you look at everything else, like his O contact, his own contact, it's all pretty much in line with years past. So it's a lot to do with just the quality of his contact. Maybe he should strike out more and take more pitches and see where things go. And people were early in the year saying, well, because he was, sick and all this stuff. Michael, we're past that with Mookie Betts by now. So the one thing I will look at, just out of curiosity here, he has improved. Well, no, it's been 250, 258, 257. No, it's pretty much been the same every month with Mookie Betts. I was going to try to find a grain of salt in there for you, but it's not there.
Just as Pete Fairbanks would put, just a consistent general type of suck.
Just a consistent general type of suck, yes. All right, the last one on the potential risers side of things, and this one I'm blowing out of the water. Yainer Diaz hit 236 with 9 home runs and no steals in the first half or so far. He's projected for 275, 10-1. Just take the overs, right? Like, you can take whatever on steals. I don't care. Power and average, he's soaring over that.
It's been a long day. I thought this was Yandy Diaz, and I was like, why do you think this? He would blow the projection out of the water. Full agree. Yainer Diaz, we saw this exact thing last year with Yainer, and I don't believe players are necessarily first half, second half guys, but like, yeah, Yainer Diaz, I'm taking the over 275, 10 homers, I think, and I think it can come within the Houston offense. That's been better. Jordan Alvarez is swinging off a tee today, so. Could get slightly better.
My daughter swung off a tee on Saturday at the Giants game. Does she get to go play for the Astros tomorrow? Good Lord.
We've already started to kind of see the turnaround with Yainer Diaz. So it was another brutal, brutal start to the season for him. I think he'll be just fine.
And to be fair, June has been a kind of a bummer as well. But
that's true.
He's showing signs of life, especially in the quality of contact, which is what you want to see from Yainer Diaz. And to your point earlier, the team as a whole sucked early. They're all starting to get Mike Cam Smith's hitting. Altuve's doing his thing. Isak Paredes is doing his thing. Jeremy Peña is awesome. So they're hitting well around him to help as well. All right, let's switch over to the falling side of things, we are not going to talk about the dumper. We're not going to talk about Aaron Judge. Like, that's just common sense reality, right?
It is. I mean, it's just real quick, though.
Look at the projection for Judge. He's still for Jesus Christ.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, for both Raleigh and Judge, you say they're projected to fall back like the most of any players. Aaron Judge, still projected for the full season to hit 55 home runs
and steal like, 11 bases to top it off
and hit over 300. And like Cal Raleigh's projected to hit 19 more home runs, and that would be 51 home runs for Cal Raleigh. So, with like
13 steals for a catcher.
Yes. And exactly. Tip of the cap to those two. So I don't think we need more. I just wanted to point out, like, he can still fall back and still have a hell of a season.
It is something to be said, though, when projections are usually very, like, cautious, I guess. And you have two guys that are still projected to regress but hit over 50 home runs on the season. That's insane. Absolutely insane.
And one of them's a catcher.
Amen. Catchers matter. Ketel Marte hitting 316, 14 home runs, two steals on the season. Projected for 281, 14-4. Honestly, that's not a massive drop-off, and I'm probably just fine with it.
Agreed. Most of that's just batting average falling back from 316, which I don't think anyone's expecting Ketel Marte to hit 316 full season. So I'm fine with hit a home run tonight, actually showing a 16% barrel, like by far the career best power skills for Ketel Marte. Better barrel rate than strikeout rate. There are not many hitters in baseball that can do that. So I think the fallback, if there even is one, for Ketel Marte, like, he could make up the batting average fallback with more homers. I might even take the over on 14 homers the rest of the way for Ketel Marte. Yeah. So, excellent season.
Mikel Garcia, 312, 8-17. I bet you that line surprises people because it's been very quiet from Mikel Garcia.
Yeah.
He had a really strong stretch for a while where he kind of started to notice him a little more, but as a whole, phenomenal stat line for the first half. Projected for 272, 5-16. You could probably maybe see more than 16 steals if he really got things going in the second half. You never know. But 272 and 5 seems fair. But, yeah, I think the average is probably higher too, honestly. He's a batting average asset.
And still another one. You combine the two, and it's a high 200s batting average with 13 homers and 33 bags. Like, for where you drafted the – I almost feel bad for calling him the off-brand mascot entering the season, like Kirkland brand. And he's been the best mascot.
He has been. He has definitely been the best mascot. So we'll see where that one finishes up, because he's leader in the clubhouse for potential 2026 mascot awards. We'll see where that one lines out. There you go. Will Smith hitting 328, 9 homers and 2 steals, regressing naturally. Naturally. Because this is what happens with Will Smith in the second half of the season. Projected to hit 270 with 11 home runs and 2 steals, which, you know, like you said, 20 home runs and 4 steals. That's Will Smith in a nutshell, folks. Good, but not great. So what's your thoughts on this 270, 11, and 2?
But with a good batting average in the best lineup in baseball. I know really he takes days off.
Is it really
here comes your days off, you know, comment. Yes, Will Smith doesn't get the playing time like some of these other guys who DH or play first or whatever, but I think we've talked about Will Smith before.
A few times.
I think whatever Will Smith gives back in batting average, I think he's going to make up for in homers. 20 barrels to just 9 home runs. Career best power for Will Smith beneath the hood. We have a beer bet. We've talked about both of these guys tonight. Rest of season, starting June 1st, which is good for me. Will Smith versus Yiner Diaz, 5x5 as of June 1st.
Yep, so that's going to be a good one.
Still very much up in the air, but I think they'll both be fine.
They will both be fine. One will be better than the other, but they'll both be fine. But yeah, Will Smith's already showing his regressions. Hit 370 in May, down to 291 in June.
Oh, 291, man. That's just awful, man.
Hasn't stolen a base since the first month of the season. Like, what?
Wow, just total bum, man. 290 in June. Absolutely, he's fallen.
Falling off
all the way.
Man, only 5 walks in June. Like, where's the OBP skills?
Yeah, walks. Yeah. Really care about those in 5x5. So that's tough, man. Yeah. No, I'm feeling terrible right now about Will Smith.
Clip it. All right. Jonathan Aranda, 325, 8 homers, no steals. You know, as much as people talk about Jonathan Aranda, you feel like he had 15 home runs by now. Because he's hitting well, but it feels like he's lighting the world on fire. And I see 8 home runs. I'm like, good batting average. Because 8 home runs really doesn't move the needle for me at starting first base. But 259, 9-0 in the second half, it's probably very fair, honestly. And most games won't be in that ballpark in Tampa.
Was just going to add, especially for a lefty, like that's huge to only have 8 home runs with the game. The number of home games they've played is not a good look for Jonathan Aranda, nor is the 325 batting average. Like, yes, you've banked it. You've got it if you've been rostering Aranda, but my man's running a 415 BABIP. Like, when that batting average, and I think the batting average will crash, and that's what the projection is, to 260. It's a very run-of-the-mill corner infielder for me, even though he is playing every day. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like that's a good point for as much as Aranda gets talked about, you would think he'd have 15, but yeah, I don't know. Kind of not. I haven't really dove into Aranda too much, but I'm not too thrilled with what I see, to be honest.
Yeah, like the skills are good, but not great. And the regression is surely coming his direction. Mentioned Jeremy Peña earlier. He's hitting 326, 11 homers, 15 steals, having an amazing season for the Astros. Gets better and better each year. Projected to go 277, 9, and 11. I would take power's pretty fair. I take the over in the steals, and average is probably fair too. I want to say over, but he's a career like 265, 270 hitter.
I could definitely see Jeremy Peña. I mean, he's got a career high of 20. Excuse me. Only 20 stolen bases. Already got 15. He's 15 for 17. So, like, why wouldn't Houston just keep letting Peña run? So I would take the over on 11 steals the rest of the way. The 9 homers, that feels honestly a little bit too rich. I take the under on 11, or sorry, on 9 homers the rest of the way, but still a good batting average. And again, this is somebody who just plays every single day. Last few seasons,
scores a ton of runs.
Yep, scores a ton of runs. He's got 47 runs already this season. Like, I don't know. I was not in on Jeremy Peña. I did not like him in draft season. You were very much more into Jeremy Peña, and he has quietly been a very good pick.
Yeah, there's a pocket where it was Mason Wynn, Jeremy Peña, Dansby Swanson, and his Wynn's price went up. I got so many Swanson and Peña shares after that, so it's worked out very well in my
got lucky. Got lucky very there. Lucky.
I've admitted that multiple times by now. So, yes, I got very fortunate that people jumped on the win train. Added mentions in the chat here that Peña has been a pleasant surprise. I've had it in my all season. Wish I could claim I saw this coming, but got lucky. I've been on Peña pretty much every draft season. Like, I just like I think he's a 2020 guy, and he's maybe going to be better than that this year.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, I don't know. It's a really good, like, what Adam said at the end, but, like, got lucky, like, Peña is a very good accumulator. Like I said, and I think that is a skill. And you just never know. Like, if you get hot and you're an accumulator, like, you get Marcus Semien type seasons every now and then. And I still, like, I don't know if this is a huge step forward skills wise for Jeremy Peña, but it's just like everything is exaggerated when you play every single day and hit in a decent lineup. And I think that's one takeaway just kind of generally I have here from Peña's season that I'll probably hope to apply. I'll realistically forget, but
I'll remind you
next season. Don't
you worry. Yeah. I'll remind you plenty with him. But speaking of accumulators, Astros, do you remember a player that used to play for them? We used to talk about accumulating all the time, and he was boring and never got drafted high.
Bregman?
Yes. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get, you know, we used to like Bregman because it was 180 to 200 runs in RBIs combined, but yep. Peña can get you 150 to 160 and steal you more bases and probably hit you 20. Like, there's something about that team that they're that good offensively. You hit towards the top half of that lineup, you're going to accumulate. We just got to – it's the little things that you go, okay, I need to remember this next draft season when all things are said and done. Pavin Smith hitting 268, 8 homers and 2 steals. A handful of those home runs have come in the last, like, 2 weeks, so that's a plus, hopefully. Projected for 246 and 1. I will take the over on – the average and the power for sure.
Yeah, I will too. I wonder why that's only at 6 home runs the rest of the way for Pavin Smith. Like, I feel like plate appearances are probably too low. I don't know why else you'd have Pavin Smith only projected for 6, though. Again, he's only, well, even in a bad year, he's hit 8. So, like, Yeah, I'm taking the over. I think our guy is back, yes. Back to being a good streamer when the D-backs face a bunch of righties. So I don't know how back. I don't know how back that is, but yeah, Pavin Smith. I'm definitely taking the over. I think a good corner infield streamer, outfield streamer. Yep.
I'm with you. Jacob Wilson, 349, 9 homers, 5 steals. The power has been insane. Thought he might run a little more. Average is nuts. Projected to still hit 304, by the way. The only guy projected to hit over 300 still on this list. 5 homers and 4 steals. I know we were down on power early on. I feel bad saying I feel like he still hits more than 5 in that ballpark all summer. It's crazy.
Could be. I feel like I'm not even qualified to speak on Jacob Wilson because I was so wrong about this guy. Like,
me and you both. Fair point. Moving on. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, seriously. Like, I don't know what to – I mean, if you'd have said he had 9 home, he'd be on pace for 18 home runs this season. I'd be like, you're freaking crazy. I had some back and forth on Twitter a few weeks ago with Matt Thompson, who was pretty high on Jacob Wilson's power, so probably should have listened to him over at Prospects Live. But I don't know what to do with Jacob Wilson, so I probably won't be like drafting him or whatever. But 304, so rest of the season projection, 304, I think you have to take, just given the amount of contact that he makes. I still think 5 home runs is probably safe the rest of the way, and 4 bags is probably safe the rest of the way because, like you said, it's a little weird he's not running, but never really did, I don't think. So I don't know. It just comes out to like I don't want to make the Luis Arraez comp, but like I just usually don't take empty batting average guys on my team, and maybe that's a flaw because I've missed the boat on Jacob Wilson this year.
Yeah, I'm missing it completely as well. 0 shares, unfortunately. I pull up the Fangraphs player rater. Jacob Wilson is the 6th shortstop off the board. Jeremy Pena is 2nd, because I was going to say, looking at the rest of season projections, who would you rather have, Pena or Wilson? It's an interesting question. Like, do you want the average or do you want maybe more power and speed? I'm going Jeremy Pena in that mix. But while I'm looking at this, the top 9 fantasy shortstops, according to the player rater, 4 of them were drafted after pick 150. And we talked about how you had to get a shortstop early. Just going to throw that one out there right now. Yeah. Pena, Wilson, Neto, that's going to drop. And Geraldo Perdomo. Geraldo Perdomo, folks, 9th on the player rater.
That's bonkers.
Yes.
Where's Win? Where's Win on that thing, by the way? Oh,
gee. Bo Bichette's 11th, to your point, before I'll get to that earlier for you. To your surprise, probably, honestly, Mason Wynn is up to 21st. Yeah. You probably thought he was much lower than that.
Up to 21st.
Be fair. Good. Be honest. You thought he was lower than that, didn't you?
No, that's about right.
Do you want to know who's right behind Bo Bichette at 12th?
Yeah, I do.
Mookie Betts.
Oh, God.
Had to throw that in there because of what we talked about earlier. That's how things
that's
are
tough.
Rolling.
That's tough. Yeah.
All right, the last one on the board here, Alex Bregman hitting 299, 11 homers, 1 steal, just raking before he got hurt. Now he's getting close to potentially getting on a rehab assignment and coming back for the Red Sox. Projected to go 267, 11-2. If he's healthy, I think he's higher in average and probably power and speed. Probably power.
I wish Bregman would have stayed healthy this year for many reasons, but like he was the ultimate test in like how do you – and one player is never going to – you know, confirm or deny the test. But like when someone who we all know who we thought we knew who Alex Bregman was, like established veteran, like pretty much could pencil in his stats every year and then just goes bonkers for 2 months. Like I feel like that's the hardest guy to project the rest of the way. Like the projection is obviously leaning towards the Alex Bregman that we've seen in previous seasons. And that's where I would lean, but would have liked to see Bregman stick this whole thing out just to see how that played out.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So I'm going to go over hoping things get better. All right, before we get to some listener questions, we do have a Zach Neto update from Rhett Bollinger.
Oh, no.
Beat reporter. Zach Neto jammed his right shoulder on his stolen base attempt in the 8th inning, but Ray Montgomery, interim coach, didn't have anything else to say post-game. So they're going to do more testing, and hopefully it's nothing more than that. But
what, is jammed that the his same, shoulder. Is that the same shoulder? Because that's how we heard it last year, stealing second.
I'd imagine so. I'd have to go look into it, but yeah. So there you go. There you go. Jam shoulder. What did he miss? At least a month last time? Plus, he wasn't ready for the start of the season?
He had surgery. Yeah, I mean, he missed 6 months.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll get some more news on that, but that does not seem great. by any means. Any final thoughts on these boards before the listener questions? It's an interesting exercise. It feels like we're about 50-50 on over-unders on this.
Yeah, agreed. Interesting exercise, and I think a good time of the season to do this type of thing. Quick follow-up on Jonathan Aranda. Maybe another further stab to me. Michael C. says, by the way, Aranda has 41 RBI and 39 runs. The Rays have been quite hot lately. One of the – actually, maybe the best offense over the last month. One of the best offenses in baseball over the last month. This is the part that gets me. He's been equal to Freddie Freeman. So that's not
great. Well done, Michael C. Well done, my friend.
Freddie Freeman's been terrible lately.
Outstanding.
Then we got Scott Burke. Burke says same shoulder for Neto. So that's I don't know. That's not great.
Not good at all. Not good at all. All right, we got some listener questions here. We got two from the old Twitter bot, and then we'll talk from the Discord here shortly. But Leslie says, with Carroll down for a while, what do you see as rest of the season for Austin Hayes, who's supposed to be rehabbing here this week?
Can we trust the health? I don't think so.
That's it. So, a healthy Austin Hayes, you're probably getting close to 10 home runs and, you know, three or four steals and hit 260.
Yeah, which is usable, which is not bad.
Yeah. Oh, I'd take him in a heartbeat. But yeah, how healthy is he going to be?
Yeah. Yep. So.
And then he says, she says also Michael Toglia, like roto standard categories.
I think with three for four.
He hit well again today, yes.
Yeah, 3-for-4 tonight with, I think, two doubles. Strikeout rate's gone down slightly. No, it hasn't. It's still super high. It's still really bad. Neither of us are
minor league.
Yep. So, I mean, we're not buying it. But, again, we have missed out on very good week plus of Michael Toglia stats. I think he's a great streamer when Colorado's at home, but I think the market views him as more than that. So I think I speak for you as well that we're both not really buying it. But
yeah, if you want to stream Toglia, go for it. Just know jump off as soon as possible.
I mean, the highs can be high because the power, some of the speed, but the lows are what got him sent to AAA in the first place.
Yep, exactly. And I'm not playing that game, homie. All right, Dave Petroziello says, is my boy Kyle Stowers going to get it back together? He had that hand issue, and I'm hoping that was the problem the last month and not the league figuring him out. He might be my Corbin Carroll replacement if the spot I have him.
Yeah, those are the types. So, to take that downgrade from Corbin Carroll to Kyle Stowers is not great. Has turned things around a little bit the last few weeks. So it was a pretty bad stretch there. In for late May and a lot of June, maybe like Dave says, related to the hand. I don't know if it's the league figuring him out. Like the power is still really, really good for Kyle Stowers. It is a little bit ironic though that I'm saying he's going to be okay and Toglia is not, because is there that much of a difference between those two? K rate's slightly better for Stowers than Toglia, but I don't know. I just don't like 30% K rates. It's 28 and a half for Stowers. So maybe passable when you have that type of power. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a dreadful June, hitting 212 with one home run. You got to hope things turn around for sure. But I'd keep giving him run. You just look at like his strikeout rate. It's gone up a point or a half a point every month. So he's up to the 30% in June as well.
Yeah,
he might be hurt still. That could be what it is. I don't think they're just figuring him out, to your point. But I like Kyle Stowers, but even where I have him, I have been timid to use him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. Let me find this tab today. Show questions, I believe, is what we're under these days. Where are? Yep, there it is. All right. BP says, I have Jimenez and Yainer Diaz on a team. Please tell me you believe Jimenez is such a Segura right now. I really need the stolen bases. We both believe. Yes.
Yeah, those were two of the guys that we both concurred would beat their rest of season, or at least match their rest of season projections. Yiner's case beat them, and those projections are, again, much, much more favorable compared to what they've done so far this year.
Agree. Ben Tidd says the left side is such a mess. Yes, yes, it is. Steve Brun, Jimenez has been brutal since the IL returned, two extra base hits and no stolen bases. He's considered dropping him. That's where the discussion was about just benching him. Dr. Doom says Mookie stands out on that list. Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
And then Mailman Mike says, who has the biggest rise and who has the biggest fall?
That's a cornerstone question for Mailman Mike. Who has the highest rise of any hitter? I would, at least on these boards, I would say Brenton Doyle.
That was where I was going. Like, I'm gonna go down with the ship on Brenton Doyle.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go down with the ship on Michael Harris. I just think the ship is going down.
What's left above the water?
Is there anything left to burn?
Is it like the Titanic where he's just floating on something right now, praying to not die of hypothermia, or he's holding on to the paint?
He has been that cold.
Yeah. The biggest fall, obviously, it's Wilson. I was kidding. I'm joking.
I'll say Jacob Wilson, biggest fall.
That's where I was looking. I'm going to go with Jonathan Aranda for me.
Okay.
But Wilson, I think it's just because it's just reality. But, dude, like you said, we've been so wrong on him. Like, do we even have the rights to say he's gonna fall? Every time I turn the game on, it seems like he's getting a base hit or something. It's just crazy how good he's playing. So yeah, so I'll go around and you go Wilson for the fall. We both have Brenton Doyle on the rise on that one. All right, my friend, that'll do it. Another episode in the books. Any final thoughts before we come back on Thursday evening with another Fab episode, week 15 Fab?
No, just hope the voice was good enough for you all tonight. A little stuffed up, so you could probably imagine, but we got through it. It was a fun show. Good chat. Thanks for hanging out in the chat. We missed UT. I don't know where he's at. He's still reeling from the Kyber Ruiz IL stint.
He's looking for catchers on the waiver wire that are not as good as Kyber Ruiz.
Yeah, it's a tough night. It's a tough night over there. But
or he's looking for a pitcher to stash on his main event team. I don't know which one it is right now.
You're cutting too deep, my friend.
On that note, we'll wrap it up there. Make sure y'all follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick, and until next time, this is Bubba the Bloom, episode 254. Catch y'all later.